This is an interview with Olita Belswali for the California State College Bakersfield California Odyssey Project by Stacy Jagels, 710 Lareda, Tipton, California, on Wednesday, March 18th at 1:30 p.m. I thought that first we'd start off with when and where you were born and maybe a little bit about your childhood.
Okay.
Could you tell
me? You want me to just start talking?
Yeah, just go ahead and start.
Well, I was born in a small... well, out in the country from a small town, Marlow, Oklahoma. And my parents, my sister and my brother were 15 and 16, so I was almost like a grandchild. And my earliest recollection is we were living in the town of Duncan, Oklahoma, and I had a very great childhood. I was 13. When we moved to out to the country, my dad decided he would be a farmer again. And unfortunately, that was along the first years of the Great Drought. And
could you tell me a little bit? You said before you were 13, you lived in Duncan. And mm-hmm. What did your father do then?
He worked for the city of Duncan. Mm-hmm. You know, repaired roads and oiled machinery and whatever is I don't know what you would call his position, but
and was that a very large town?
Oh, probably the size of Tulare. Well, probably the size Tulare would have been at that time. I don't really remember. Mm-hmm. But a fairly good middle-sized town.
So you lived in a house in town?
Mm-hmm.
There?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember much about that time?
Sure. I was about 10 blocks from school, and I skated to school. And I remember our sixth grade, the school I attended, that one only went to the sixth grade, and I remember the May Day. We had a king and a queen, and we had maypoles, and everybody dressed in cute little uniforms, I guess, or whatever you call them. And really, not a lot from then. But as I said, it was a very happy time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember whether your family was very well off financially?
No, no. We were very middle class.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't poor, but we weren't well-to-do. And just a normal,
mm-hmm.
normal family.
You said you had two siblings that were quite a bit older than you.
My brother and my sister, uh-huh.
So there were just three of you all together?
Uh-huh. So my earliest recollection of them is they were married and away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think of yourself as being raised almost as an only?
No, because my parents raised my sister's three children. So they were like my brothers and sisters. There was two girls and a boy. Not a great deal younger than I was, so.
Mm-hmm. Did you have some added responsibility because they were younger?
Oh, sometimes in the harder times, now and then I would resent the fact that perhaps I had to do without things.
Mm-hmm.
As all children do. All children are selfish and mean. But no, it was very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the sorts of things you did in your spare time, whether there were clubs to join or...
Well, I remembered my mother was one of my earliest teachers after I was married and went back to Oklahoma once. I talked to her and she remembered my mother and she remembered me, which I thought after all those years was rather a remarkable thing. But I'm not a shy person, so anyway. But what I did during summers was lay out in the porch swing and read. I loved to read. I'd walk to the library every day and get two books. Then I'd read them, and then I would go back the next
mm-hmm.
day. And I ate lots of ice. I remember going to the ice box and chipping little things of ice, cups of ice, and eating out in the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Just laying around.
Were you, did you go to church in Los
Angeles? Yes, oh yes, my family were Baptist.
Was that an important part of your life?
Oh yes, very. My mother always had someone home for dinner on Sunday. She always cooked a big dinner. And then after we moved to the country, she played the organ at the little churches we attended. After we moved to the country, we attended whatever church was there. Mm-hmm. But
could you tell me a little bit more about living in the country, how that changed the way you live?
Well, I loved it. I loved animals. Of course, being a city child, I had never been around very many big animals. And when we first moved to the country, we had mules, and I learned to drive them. And we had cows, and I learned to milk them. Unfortunately, I had to milk them night and morning. And all kinds of chickens. And we lived in a very nice home. But the only thing, we didn't have a telephone, and we didn't. Of course, I don't remember that we had a telephone at my other house in town, and we didn't have indoor plumbing. Except, well, we did have water in the kitchen, in the sink. But when we moved out to the country, we had no electricity. So my father fixed my mother's washing machine to run on a gasoline motor, and try to buy her an iron that you could iron with, pumping up some kind of gas, I guess. Kerosene iron, maybe. I don't know. And I had my first experience with a sad iron, because someone had given my mother some, those old irons you put on top of your wooden stove to get hot and iron with. Mm-hmm. But I had lots of pets, pigs, and we did. We all worked. We all went out and help chop the cotton, and I got to drive the mules and ride on the Go Devil, which is a little tiny type of cultivator, and had a little seat on it. It sits very low, and it had two little blades that went along in front and cut down the weeds, and then there was a little disc that disc up behind. I thought that was really great. It was lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. But well, we worked hard. Why did your father decide to leave his city job?
There had been a change in the administration, so my father was, you know, getting up close to 60, I guess. I don't really know. And so he lost his job. He'd worked there many years. But when you get new city managers and they have jobs they have promised, the old political game, you know. So my dad decided he'd been a farmer all his early life. He had been a farmer, so he would go back to...
Could you tell me a little bit more about your mother and father? Were they both native Oklahomans, or had they moved?
No, my father was born in Arkansas, and my mother was born in Texas. No. I do have some things here I'll show you a little later. A cousin has done a family history of my family. But they married quite young. Well, my dad, I think, was 21, and my mother was 15 or so when they married. And in their early marriage, they went out to, I think it's no man's land in Texas, and they homesteaded some property. And they tried to make a go of it out there. But apparently it didn't work out too well, because I also have a picture of the half dugout that families had to live in up there, out on those plains, to keep the cold wind out. So they dug dugouts, and then the half of the house was up. So they lived in their early marriage. And then sometime they came back to Oklahoma. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And then I was born there,
when your
close
father
to Duncan.
Went back to farming after working for the city. Mm-hmm. Was he a tenant farmer?
Yes, we rented a leased a place from this man, and we bought all of his, you know, took all of his equipment and whatever he had, animals and whatever. Mm-hmm. Took the whole works. This was along the early years of the drought, And this man hadn't made it, so that my dad always an optimist, you know. Well, it's got to end someday, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so all of you helped out.
Oh yeah, we all worked. And
how about school? Did that interfere with your schooling?
No. No, I attended a school. They had a school bus that a little, well, not a large town, probably the size of this one, but probably 6 or 8 miles from where we lived. And I never did not attend school.
So you never had to stay out of school
or anything like that? One period, my mother had real serious illness, and she was in the hospital, and I did have to stay home portions of that quarter, you know, but I caught up. So, no, my parents understood that, well, there was never any question that we would or would not attend school. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was something we did.
How about your chores? You described milking cows. Did you feel like you had a lot of chores to do, a great deal of work, or
no.
Did you just take it in stride?
No, it was just something to do. Mm-hmm. Now and then, if I wanted to go out early to, the church, and the cow had to be milked, you know. No.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about the house you lived in? You said it was a very nice house,
except
for no electricity and little.
Yes, it was. Considering how most farmhouses were at that time, I thought it was a very nice house. Although we used the front room turned out to be my bedroom, which it had a separate entrance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had two other bedrooms and a large other room which would have been the family room. We did have beds in it because now and then, you know, it wasn't really big enough for all of us. Then a kitchen with a big wooden stove.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lamps with the globes or whatever you call those. I've even forgot.
Mm-hmm. And you said it was nicer than most other farmhouses that you had seen. Did you feel you were a little bit better off than other farm families?
Some I did. Some children I went home with, new friends I made, and I went home to spend the night. Some of them weren't quite so well off.
Mm-hmm. Did you have money for extra things then?
No, I don't believe so. I remember some magazine salesman came by and he took two chickens so we could get the Ladies' Home Journal for a year. No, there wasn't any money. No one had any money that I recall.
A lot of people have told me that they bartered, just as you described.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Do you remember that going on quite a bit?
Not really. My parents never let the children know anything about if times were hard, if we were hard up, or, well, they had to let us know to some extent, but
mm-hmm.
there was never any issue made of it. Or
mm-hmm. You do ever remember hard times as far as food? Did you
no.
feel like you had
when we moved to the country, I believe we ate better than I ever remember because my mother raised chickens in a little brooder.
Mm-hmm.
We had fried chicken you wouldn't believe. And my parents always raised a big garden. And we had grain to feed the pigs. And we had our own pork. So really it was only the sugar and the flour and the basics that... And my mother would take cream to town to trade or eggs. You know, for sugar and flour, and so no, I don't believe we were ever at the point where we were starving or hungry or deprived in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, there wasn't money, and no one went to shows, and no one went here and went there.
Mm-hmm.
We went to church, or else we made yes, it was.
Then.
Uh-huh, it was.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to church every Sunday when you lived out in the country?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Some people have told me about revivals that were held every summer. Do you remember going to that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think what they call them, fundamental churches, mm-hmm. have revivals. And when we moved to the country, some of them one place didn't even have a church. They had a little arbor-like thing. They put boards or posts up, and then they put branches over. And the people met there in this grove of trees. Oh, it was just a beautiful place, especially in the early spring and summer, you know, along a river. And so a preacher would come through, you know, and he'd hold a revival maybe a week at a time, I guess. And my mother always brought the preacher home for dinner. My mother was a great cook, and she, as I said, she played the organ, and she felt very much responsible.
How about your father? Did he feel like he was a big part of the community too? Or?
Well, not in the sense that my mother did. And he was not what I would call a religious person in that sense. My mother's family was more oriented towards church mm-hmm. and things than my dad. His family was not. But, no, he went to church every Sunday with everybody, like all of us. I mean, it was how the community got to know each other. And
mm-hmm. do you remember very many social things connected with the church, where they would have
box socials? Oh yeah.
Things like that.
Oh yeah, there was always church almost every Sunday. I mean, not every Sunday, but if there was a revival, then they'd have everyone would bring food on this big Sunday, and they'd have the big potluck dinners. And then they had pie socials and box socials to raise money. But of course, I was 13 when we moved out, 14, I guess. And back in those days, a girl of 14 was fairly adult, you know. I think perhaps more so than the children today, although some of them think they are, but. Really, so I made friends and got to go spend the night with friends and go to parties. And mm-hmm. My parents were, my mother particularly was against dancing. In her church, she didn't believe that you could dance, you know. But I did go to some dances, a lot. But she was never anyone, you know, to push that much for herself. She felt this way, but you know, each adult had their own opinion, and she didn't try to force her views on me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you read quite a bit as a child. Did that continue on?
Yeah, I loved to read. I loved to read.
Did you enjoy school then?
Oh yeah, I loved school. Always loved school. I did fairly good in all classes except math, perhaps. But of course, in Oklahoma, children were required to have 4 years of history, 4 years of math, 4 years of English, or English literature. So when I moved to California, I was a year ahead of most classes. Well, thank much my last year in Porterville. I took mostly electives. I had some typing, cooking one with freshmen. Most people thought I was a freshman because I had so many freshman classes. But I had all my solids, so I didn't need to mm-hmm. take any more.
It sounds like the life on the farm was kind of an idyllic
oh, it was.
Thing, but
it
what
was.
Happened when the drought came?
Well, we moved from this first place. I don't know if we stayed there 1 year or 2 years, because children don't really know or care. So we moved to another place. The house wasn't nearly so nice. It wasn't that bad. My mother was a most clean person. It doesn't matter where she lived, the place was clean. And so it wasn't that bad, but we moved to the small place. And I remember the first sandstorm that I had anything to do with. We were walking home. Of course, we walked lots then. There were cars, and we had a car, but people thought nothing of walking. Everybody walked, so we were walking home, oh, probably 3 or 4 miles, and this huge, huge cloud, black cloud came. We thought it was going to be a thunderstorm or a rainstorm. It was only dust. And it just blotted out the sun, and it was just like night. The people had to use the car lights. The town lights went on. You know, it was very, very bad. But then it would go a while without any, you know, and then we'd have some more sandstorms and some more sandstorms. And afterwards, sand piled up, you know, 2 foot high, front of your door, through your windows, every place. It just permeated everything. So then, those were bad.
Do you remember your father talking very much about how that affected the crops?
Oh, yes. The big thing was, will it rain? Will it rain? Every little cloud, will it rain? But it didn't. There was quite a long period there. There was no rain. So the farmers would sow their crops, and then... I shouldn't say there was no rain, because I remember my dad did grow some broom corn and cotton. I remember those two crops. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting when the broom corn johnnies came to the young girls in the community. Broom corn that they make brooms out of grew up, and then someone would go along and bend some of them to make a table, and then other ones would come along and cut them and lay them on top until the wagons came along and laid them on there real nice, and then they were put in drying racks, you know, in big sheds to dry. So the crews of broom corn johnnies, they call them, young men, would join a crew, and they'd go from town to town and farmer to farmer. And then all the women would go and help whoever was having them that day cook the dinner. And then the young girls would serve and get to meet all the handsome men. That was interesting for me, too. Mm-hmm. I liked that. So.
But as... the storms grew worse and the drought grew a little bit worse. What happened to your financial situation?
I rather imagine it was pretty bad.
But your parents didn't talk about it.
No. No. But of course, we were in the same position that everyone else is. I mean, we weren't unique. So the men all talked and the women all talked and the children had fun.
But you still remember having enough to eat?
Oh, yes, Oh, yes.
The necessities.
I remember my mother did sell some chickens to buy me a dress so I could be in a play. I needed a new dress, and there was no money. And I think probably the dress cost $1.50. I mean, things were cheap, but... So she did, I remember, sell some chickens at the time so I could have a new dress to be in the play. The school was putting on a play, and I was in it. But we always managed. And back then, neighbors were most helpful. Everybody helped everybody else.
Do you remember ever going to other neighbors' fields and helping them do work and then having them come over to your field? I've heard some people tell me that they would trade work that way.
No, I don't, not, no. No, not in my family, and I don't remember that. The men would, you know, trade for that. Well, you mean me, myself, or my family?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad would. He would go over and help a neighbor get whatever had to be done, and then they would in turn come and help, you know, get out a crop or something. Mm-hmm. So.
Were there other ways that neighbors would help one another?
Well, I don't really can't think of any, but except people were close.
Mm-hmm.
People were
much
very
more
close.
Of a community feeling than there
That's
in
true.
California.
That's true. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like your family really belonged in that community, was a part of it, and I've heard some people say that they had such a community feeling in Oklahoma, and when they came to California, they lost that. They were very much alone. Did you feel that way too?
Well, yeah. There was quite a bit of resentment because jobs were hard to find here too at that time. There were people out of work, and I think they felt, I heard some remarks, they wanted to stop them at the border.
Well, getting back to the drought and the death situation, some people have said that tractors started coming on the scene about that time, and then that's one of the reasons that people were driven from the land. On the other hand, other people have told me that there were very, very few tractors.
I don't remember any.
No.
We may even have had one.
Using a team.
As far as I know, as far as I can remember, we still have teams and mules and horses. No, I don't think the mechanization was primarily the cause. It was just simply no rain and the drought.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first people that came were laborers that worked for the farmers, the tenant farmers. And when there was no work, the farmers couldn't hire any work, and they came first, and then later the tenant farmers came, and the ones that could hang in that did on their own farms came out of it when it finally rained. But many of them lost their.
Was your father able to hire some workers?
No.
When he was a tenant farmer, or did your family do most of the work?
As far as I can remember, we did all our own work.
Do you remember how large the farms were?
Well, it seemed to me the first one was probably 160 acres, maybe, or maybe even more, because I know lots of it wasn't tillable land.
Mm-hmm.
It was just open gullies and whatnot, and there was a good portion, and they planted the cotton there, and the garden was here, and way down in the east corner, maybe there was a cornfield, whatever land was good, but I would say in the neighborhood of 168.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about the farming methods? That I've heard some people say that they did not rotate their crops the way we do now, and they often would plant a field, say, in cotton year after year after year, and they
I think that's probably true. That was true, and they didn't know about, when you till across land, or, you know, make the borders. To hold the water back. Because I remember, particularly this one place, when it would rain, everything would just wash away down these little gullies, and all the topsoil did, which was bad. They have learned considerably since then.
So you think that some of their farming methods might have contributed to the problems they had in producing
products? To some extent. Although I think, if it hadn't been such a long, prolonged drought, it wouldn't have been quite as serious as it was.
Do you remember ever hearing about special government programs where they paid the farmers not to plant or to plow under their crops?
Oh, yeah. I remember talk about it. I don't know that my dad had anything to do with any of that.
Mm-hmm. But there was some talk about it.
There was some talk, and I know later, maybe after we left in later years, they planted trees. They plant a row of trees to break the wind, keep from blowing away all of the land. And there are still many of them back there now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing about farmers slaughtering pigs or cattle for these government programs where they would be paid to kill them?
I heard about it. We didn't, my dad didn't participate in any of that.
Do you think that any of your neighbors or people in the community did? Whether that was very common where you live?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I think that came perhaps a little later, after we left.
Was there any one thing that finally made your family decide to leave Oklahoma? mean, the economic situation was growing worse and worse, and there probably seemed no hope for the farm, but was there a catalyst, something?
Yes, my sister lived in California. She had lived here for several years. And the one that we had her children, we were raising her children, and she had begged us for years to please come, Daddy, you know, you don't have to stay there, and there'll, you know, be a good job here for you. So I think possibly that, and the fact that she had took her youngest home, and my parents missed it greatly. They had had her since she was two, you know, and I mean, she took her when she was six, so my parents missed her very much. And we had a glowing picture painted of a good life.
We were talking about the picture you had in your mind of a good life in California. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, my dad had a sale, and we sold everything we owned and what we could bring on a little two-wheel trailer. I don't remember if we had mattresses on top or not. I mean, that's the picture you get. I doubt it very much. But we came to California, and it was pretty hard, the trip. You know, we stayed in some little, I suppose like a little motel or little cabins along the way. And it was very desolate, a very long, hard, desolate trip. I'd left all my friends, you know, 16, it's a very hard time. But when we got here, we stayed at a friend's house. They were living on a grape ranch in a cabin, and we stayed with them until we could find some housing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a while before we found any decent housing.
People
would not even talk to you about renting a house if you were from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back just a little bit. You said you had ideas in your mind of what California was like. Do you remember any of that? Any pictures that you had? Some people said they just saw groves and groves of oranges, or they have very.
I was more into movie stars.
When you thought of California, you thought maybe of Hollywood.
Yes,
glamorous
Hollywood. And I wasn't disappointed either. I mean, California is a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Imperial Valley. That's where we went, through the southern route, through Arizona, and we went.
Do you remember, did people talk very much about California when you were back in Oklahoma? Were there rumors about what it was like?
I don't remember, no. I remember we had one California boy came to our school one time, and he talked so funny. Everybody in school was laughing about that funny accent that boy had from California. Have you heard the boy from California talk yet?
How about your sister? No. She had been living out here quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
What sorts of things did she tell you about California?
I don't really remember that she painted any glowing picture.
Just that things were better?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And you didn't have to depend on rain. There was water available. Mm-hmm. You know, they irrigated, which was quite a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to an orange and a grapefruit orchard, a house on there. My dad got employment, and we lived there about maybe a year.
In the Imperial Valley?
Mm-hmm. But then my dad was unable to stand the heat. He did have got ill once from the heat, heat exhaustion, and he decided he'd rather try someplace else. So, and most people from our area, well, maybe a lot from Oklahoma, settled in this valley.
Mm-hmm. And you said you weren't disappointed with California, but you did have a more glamorous idea of what it would be like. When you first came into the valley here, or even the Imperial Valley, weren't you a little bit disappointed? I mean, just to see this flat expanse of land?
Well, no, where I lived, there wasn't mountains either, mm-hmm. if you mean the that kind. No. No. But the trees and the orange trees and everything was, that was very pretty. Mm-hmm. I liked it very much.
You described selling all the family things before you left Oklahoma. And because you were only 16 at the time, you said that was a little bit traumatic, leaving all your friends. And
it was. And my mother leaving all her, not that she had a lot, but her treasures, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you remember any special things that she had to sell? I've heard some people say they had to sell the sewing machines.
Oh, everything.
Things that were very special.
Everything. My mother's sewing machine that she'd had as long as I could remember. Her beautiful dishes. My bedroom set.
But did you still want to come to California, even though it was a little bit upsetting?
Well, I didn't know that I had any choice, so mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that accepts things like they are. I don't brood over things I can't change. So mm-hmm. I just came.
Yeah. And you came out in your family car then?
Mm-hmm.
And there would have been your parents, mm-hmm. yourself, and
one niece and one nephew.
Mm-hmm. And you said you stayed in tourist cabins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember where you ate, or if you picked up food at grocery stores?
No, my dad. We did that some. My dad would stop and buy sandwich stuff, and we would mm-hmm. eat. And
do you remember how long it took you?
Oh, it seemed to me about 4 or 5 days, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. It just seemed it was a very long time.
Mm-hmm. You said that you had sold things in Oklahoma, so you had some money
mm-hmm.
on the way out. Do you have any idea about how much money your parents had? Or that was
no.
something they probably didn't talk about?
No. No, never.
Mm-hmm.
No, my dad never burdened anyone with his problems, and we always knew he would manage.
mm-hmm. So you really didn't have any worries?
No, I had no worries, you know. About that we were going to be hungry and not have food or anything along that line. I did, I know when we started replacing the things we had sold, it was quite a disappointment because what we sold was fairly nice and what we could buy
mm-hmm.
was not. Of course, that's true today too. If you're selling, you don't get much, but if you have to buy, then so, but...
Do you remember anything, any incidents or that happened along the journey? Perhaps car trouble or anything like that? A lot of people told me their cars broke down every 5 miles.
Well, I don't think so. I was interested when we came across the desert, the sand, between Arizona and California, in that area, in the sand dunes. We did stop, and we walked around and looked at the wooden sidewalks that they'd had for some time. And we heard stories about people having been lost and starved to death, and without water and all, but
mm-hmm.
no.
Do you remember seeing very many, what at that time they kind of called Okie jalopies along the way, people who piled mattresses and pots and pans and zillions of kids in the back. Some people have said that highways were just packed with these cars coming out. Do you remember seeing very many like that?
No. There was no, we didn't, team up with anyone. We
mm-hmm.
didn't know anyone. I don't remember that. I wasn't impressed with anything along that line. I imagine there was lots coming, but...
You probably wouldn't have known where they
no.
were.
No.
I mean, they could have been from New
That's
York
true.
For all you
sure.
know.
Sure. I wasn't thinking we're all going to the
yeah.
same place. We're migrating. I was probably reading a book.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. What made your father decide to go to the Imperial Valley?
My sister lived there in El Centro. That was the main reason, and he did have employment there.
Did he have any guarantee of a job before he went there?
Well,
or a lead or contact?
Yes, yes. My sister had told him that she had the job, or she knew someone that would give him a job.
Mm-hmm.
So he did have, we did have employment.
When you came in from Arizona to California at the border, do you remember any trouble there?
No.
Do you remember being stopped and having everything in your car?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I remember my dad had picked up, we had stopped in Texas or someplace and picked up some pecans. And we had put them in my mother's quilt box. And my dad, being thoroughly honest, when he asked if we had anything, my dad said yes. So he had to leave them there because you couldn't bring any fruit or nuts in. But of course, we didn't know that when he. But he would have told anyway. But yes, he. It seemed to me that the man at the border did make my dad mad. Now, not just over the pecans. I think he was perhaps a little insolent and looking down on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, another one of those. So, I think perhaps that wasn't a great welcoming. But I was tired and wanting to get on.
Mm-hmm. Did your father start to work right away then?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
You said this was on
a grapefruit and orange orchard.
Mm-hmm. How long did you work? Did you stay there? And your
I think maybe a year or less.
Mm-hmm.
Until
you
the heat
had
got him.
A great deal of difficulty finding place to live?
No, this was when we came
up
to
here.
This area.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But when you were in the Imperial Valley then, you stayed with your sister? Or?
No, the house was furnished with my dad's job in this
mm-hmm.
orchard. So we.
Do you remember much about the house?
It wasn't anything great, but it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. It was large enough for the family.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember much about your father's wages? Perhaps he didn't tell you exactly what he made,
no.
But did it seem to be enough?
It must have been. I don't remember. No. No. I worked one day as a waitress in a big cafe. But that's another long story. But a poor little girl that had hardly eaten in a big restaurant. My sister had been a dinner waitress at this restaurant, and the lady wanted to help her, and so she hired me, this little 16-year-old girl. And it was quite an experience because she had 14 waitresses and lots of tables and lots of... And I think I disrupted a lot of people's orders. I had the cook screaming at the girls and the girls screaming at the cook. I was just taking orders and serving my customers, and they weren't my orders. But I had never had any experience. But it was funny afterwards. It's a very funny.
Did you ever work in the orchard there or anything?
Not
like that?
There, no. After we moved here, I cut grapes and tripped grapes, and I worked in the cannery in Porterville, and I worked one place drying fruit. You know, you cut it and leave it out to dry, and I chopped cotton, and I weighed cotton, and I picked cotton. And in one day, I even hoed sugar beets with a little short hoe. But I would never do that. I would starve first.
Mm-hmm.
So I did whatever work was available and needed.
Was that after school and on weekends?
Oh, yeah,
in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did have to go on WPA when he couldn't find employment. So he worked there a while. I don't know where or how long.
And when you were in the Imperial Valley, you started back to school there then?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you remember much about that? I've talked to a couple of people who had a lot of problems in the Imperial Valley with, you know, discrimination against Earthies. Whereas when they moved up here into the Central Valley, they didn't have those problems. Did you experience anything like that?
No. I missed about 6 weeks of school probably during the move. And I was taking Algebra 2. And when I tried to continue after missing 6 weeks, there's no way.
Yeah.
So I, but lots of people were most helpful to me, most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any discrimination. Now, when I did come here, now in the Porterville High School, there was some, you know, even afterwards, I had one teacher that, I happened to be at her desk, and she asked me why all we Okies came out here. And I said, well, probably for the same reason you did. So she was the only teacher that had ever made any remark
mm-hmm.
along that kind. And there were a few people. But I always consider the source, and most people, it's ignorance. You know, they put people, all people, in one stereotype, and we all aren't the same.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But when you were in El Centro, you didn't seem to have any problems at school there.
No.
Do you remember any problems in the community? Or?
No. Yeah. We didn't really get into the community. My mother didn't go to church there. We didn't get acquainted with neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly with my sister and her friends and my,
well,
you know. But as far as going out making new friends and new contacts, we didn't. We never really were a part of that community.
Mm-hmm. And your father couldn't take the heat there.
That's
so
right,
he
uh-huh.
He became ill, then he moved up
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
To Poplar.
Mm-hmm. In that Poplar area.
Mm-hmm. What made him decide that particular area?
Well, we, as friends from the area we came from in Oklahoma, lived here in this area. Two or three families that we knew of. So they knew they would have friends to visit, which are very important.
Where did your father find a job then?
Well, it seemed to me that he worked on a grape orchard, I guess. I don't really know.
That wasn't very long then.
Oh,
no.
No.
He had difficulty finding one.
Yes, we did. We had difficulty finding a place to stay. And then after my mother died, the year I graduated from high school. So then my brother came out. He was in Oklahoma. He was a barber. And we rented a small ranch here, or farm, and we farmed. And then after that, my dad bought a small service station and a little grocery store in Poplar. That's where we lived.
Mm-hmm. When you first moved up here, when you were talking about difficulty finding a place to live, and you would go looking and people would say, oh, if you're from Oklahoma, we don't want you.
Well, maybe not that obvious, but no, they didn't even talk to you.
Yeah.
It's funny for me now because there are two ladies that, very wealthy ladies. Fact matter is we rented, when my husband was farming, we farmed their place. And she doesn't know that to this day, but when we first came here, my dad approached her about renting one of her two empty houses that she had out on a ranch, and she wouldn't even talk to my dad because we were Okies, you know.
Mm.
So.
What did you do then for housing?
Well, it seemed to me the first thing we moved into was a little milk house with a tent alongside it. It wasn't very much. And then we all cut grapes there. We got a job. The whole family went and cut grapes
mm-hmm.
there that summer until we found something else. So.
Did you talk to other people from Oklahoma who had the same problem trying to find?
Oh, I'm sure I did. Oh, I'm sure, because they tend to congregate together.
Mm-hmm.
We must have, yes. Uh-huh. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't housing available for anyone, you know, really, I guess. not a lot of housing, but.
Do you remember where you moved after living in that small milk house with the tent?
No. I think we moved to Poplar, by Poplar, down far, down farther to some people's house that had a little egg ranch, and we lived there for, while I went to Portable High School, that part of the time, till I graduated.
Mm-hmm. And then you knew quite a few other people that were from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. even from your hometown.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Were most of them about in the same situation?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Everybody was the same.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember very many workers of other minorities, say Mexican workers or Filipino workers?
No, I don't. So, I just don't remember at all, any.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not here, because there aren't any government camps near here, but when you were in the Imperial Valley, do you remember hearing about the government camps they have people live in?
No. Mm-mm. There are some in this area, even now. Linnell, and
mm-hmm.
I know several. Of,
North of here.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
And you didn't know anyone who
that lived in them, no.
How about what they call ditch camps, where people who were really bad off would live, say, underneath a bridge or near a river,
mm-hmm.
perhaps pitch a tent or a shack made of paper or cardboard? Do you remember ever seeing people who had done
no.
that?
No. I'm sure they were, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. And after your father worked the grapes,
mm-hmm.
he had difficulty finding work. Later on, you said that you went to work for the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember much about that?
No. He just went to work in the day and came back.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy. I know that, but it was a necessity.
You don't know what he did, though?
No, I don't know. I probably road work, but, working on roads and things, but I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever talk about it, or did you just sense that he
I sensed
was
it, but he was
it.
Not happy doing it. He considered that welfare.
mm-hmm.
But, so I guess after that, he got employed by some farmers and worked for them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Till my brother came.
Then he would
after
have
my
been
mother
there
died.
Probably just various things, whatever
oh, yeah.
the farmers.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever talk about the way he felt about welfare, the WPA, or was that just something you just sort of grew up with, an idea that it wasn't good to be on welfare? Or,
well, I imagine that is correct. He never discussed it that I remember. No.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever take any sort of aid? Did you ever have a really bad winter where there was
no
money and you had to taken away, but he did consider working for the WPA, a form of
yes. He would rather have been independent, doing it on his own without help. But
Did you know very many other people from Oklahoma who did take aid? Or?
No. Of course, most of the people that we knew around Poplar, were the neighbors and the farmers and the people, and my mother went to church there, and we got acquainted, and in that community. So we weren't. What did I say? Limited to visiting with our Okie friends. My mother made other friends
right.
and other people, and.
Did you have any way to know about other people who are from Oklahoma, perhaps through school or through the church, anything like that, where you would know how other people were living, whether you were doing a little better or a little worse? Or
no. We just became a part of the community, as mm-hmm. it were. And
how about in school? Do you remember knowing that other students were from Oklahoma or Texas?
No. No. Well, my one best friend was from Texas, but her parents were very well off. They had moved all their belongings in a freight car out here and mm-hmm. had bought a ranch, and so they weren't what you would call your everyday Okies.
Uh-huh.
So she was my best friend. So we went every place together and did things together. And so my mother did stay fairly close to the friends that had let us stay in their house when we first came. No, but she visited with them often, but those were my mother's friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, the older people. They didn't have children my age, uh-huh. so they weren't my friends.
So if you didn't really know other people or students in your situation mm-hmm. at school, did that kind of make you feel isolated, like you were the only
well,
from Oklahoma there?
Yes.
And then when they made Okie jokes.
Yes, I was the only one. When I went to my 40th class reunion, we were talking about how poor I was. And well, they were talking about how poor they were. And I said, my goodness, I had to wear just cotton dresses. And all the girls wore wool skirts and wool sweaters and, you know, dress nights. So this girl laughs. She says, honey, we were all poor then. Says, we were wearing our brothers and sisters' hand-me-downs. But, of course, they weren't in the situation that a lot of them were.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was jokes about Okies. I remember the first time I got up in public speaking to make a speech. Well, everyone was in hysterics with my accent. But in Oklahoma, they had laughed when I got up, too, because I generally like to crack jokes or something. And so I didn't think it was that unusual because they laughed, you know.
Did it seem more of in good fun?
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes. There was, I would
not
say, probably two people in the whole school that maybe had made a cruel remark. One, this teacher.
Right.
And another person. But everyone else was in good fun.
Mm-hmm. So did it bother you very much then?
No.
How about other places you went, say to church or in stores, places around town? Did people ever remark on your accent or anything?
Oh, always, you know, always. But nothing talking
bad. Nothing to be offended by or anything like
that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said, we thought the California black guy talked funny too. So it all depends where you are.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about your when you worked as a teenager and all these different things you did, was that fairly common for teenagers to go out in the field?
Yes. Everybody worked, as far as I know. I didn't know anyone that laid up. I mean, it was nothing unusual to work.
Mm-hmm. Did you use that money to contribute to the family?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. When I worked at the cannery, I brought my checks, bought tires for the car. I mean, there was never any question.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an extra money, spending money
on
yourself.
No,
it
no.
was to help the family
mm-hmm.
out there.
True. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother work in the fields then?
Not a lot. She did some, but my mother was always the mother that stayed home and cooked and kept
right.
the house clean and the clothes ready and all. And
that was quite enough.
Well, in those days, too, you know, it was, she didn't go out and work.
Do you remember your father, when he would be trying to find work, how he went about it? Did he just hear from people that there might be work here or work there? Or?
I think so. He would be talking to someone and say, well, I hear they might be hiring over so-and-so, and he would go there and you know, see if he could get a job someplace.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever try to go very far away from here looking for
work? No, he always stayed home.
How about when he wasn't employed and say he was looking for work or waiting for his next job? Do you remember what he did with his time then?
Well, I can hardly remember my dad not working.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't remember. The year that my mother died, my dad was also in the hospital at the same time. And they were both scheduled for surgery the same morning. So he was ill there for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, my dad has worked most of his life.
Did he ever have much time left over in the evenings or on weekends for recreation?
No.
Or was it just mostly work?
Mostly work. And he wasn't one really to go out and make new friends and go to new churches. And so my mother generally, when we were in this area, she went alone or we went together. Since my dad was like most men, I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
Some of them have to be dragged to church.
Uh-huh.
So, but after a hard day's work, he could use the day to rest and fix things up around the house.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did he ever talk about the way his employers or the growers had treated him?
No.
How about you when you worked for them? Do you remember whether they were unusually nice to you or perhaps not so nice?
I don't remember anyone ever mistreating us or talking ugly to us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Some people have told me that the growers would cheat them. Say if they picked cotton, they would do something to the scale so that they wouldn't get paid enough. Do you remember hearing anything like that?
No. Fact of the matter is, I weighed cotton one year for a man, and I can assure you we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people, I think, like to imagine that people are cheating. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. But no.
Mm-hmm.
No, my dad never, that I remember.
This is the second interview with Olita Belswale on Friday, April 10th, 1981, at 2 p.m.
I thought I'd start out today talking about after you were here in California, up here in the valley, and in high school. I was wondering what you did for entertainment, say in the evenings or on weekends.
Well, we listened to the radio with our, at this one place. We went over and visited him. We might not have had a radio at that time, I don't know, but we'd go over and listen to the radio programs and in the evening. And of course, I was a senior when I came here, and so I dated and went to dances and shows, just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before that your mother had died after you graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
And so did that give you a lot of responsibility, taking care of your father?
Yes,
yes,
it did.
And
yes, so I was responsible for most
housekeeping.
Yes. Yes.
And all those chores. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the food that a lot of people from Oklahoma and the Texas area that moved here cook. There seems to be a kind of oaky cooking, certain types of foods that people
mm-hmm.
like. Could you tell me a little bit about your diet then in the late 30s?
In Oklahoma or here or all together?
All together.
Well, we ate lots of fried chicken. That seems to be a good southern
mm-hmm.
staple. And, of course, vegetables, corn, and all kind of green beans and whatever, you know, is raised. And we ate lots of potatoes. That seems to be a staple in our diet. Fried, mashed, baked, whatever. And so.
A lot of talk. About.
No, my mother always thought pork, particularly in the summer, wasn't good for you. I mean, that was a fallacy that you can get sick from eating pork when it's too hot or something. So, no, not in our family. We didn't eat any more than any beef or steak or whatever.
Mm-hmm. In Oklahoma, especially when you lived on a farm, the mm-hmm. vegetables and mm-hmm. foods were fairly plentiful. After you moved here and you weren't so well off and you didn't have this farm or vegetable mm-hmm. garden, it must have been more difficult to get fresh foods like that. Was there a change in your diet then in California?
There probably was, but right now I don't remember any.
Not anything very drastic?
No,
there.
No. I think probably. Then the food was very inexpensive. You know, bread was 9 cents a loaf, and there on. mm-hmm. So everything was very, very cheap, and I don't remember that food was any great. I always loved bologna, so we may have eaten a lot of bologna. mm-hmm. mm-hmm. But I didn't consider that that I was being deprived of anything. mm-hmm.
So you remember that you were well fed when times were tough.
Oh, yeah. I don't. My mother always managed very well, and she was a very good cook. And I don't.
Some people have told me that because times were bad and people were looking for jobs, people would become depressed, and liquor became to be a problem with a lot of the men. Do you remember?
Well, we wouldn't have had that problem in my family because my mother was a very staunch Baptist, and drinking is strictly uh-huh. forbidden, and there was never any question, no. Uh-huh. My dad never drank.
How about other families? Do you remember hearing anything like that?
No. The people that we knew came primarily from the area we did and attended the church, and so they were basically the same as we were, so. Mm-hmm. No.
Do you remember if anyone in your family had any bad health problems? You described that both your mother and father
yes.
were in the hospital at one time.
My mother had had a ruptured appendix that didn't get care, and this was in Oklahoma, and by the time she got to the hospital, we almost lost her, and she was in the hospital quite a long time there. And then after we moved here, she developed a goiter, and she was under treatment at the Tulare County Hospital for the goiter. And at the same time, my dad had developed prostate, which is something of that age, not unusual. And they were both scheduled for surgery the same morning. Of course, that is one of my beefs, I guess, but one bad thing that I could say I remember. We weren't informed that they were going to do surgery on either of them at that day. I was at work over in Porterville. I was working at the cannery. And they called up and said my mother had died.
And you didn't even know she was in surgery?
No, I didn't know they were going to operate that day.
So that came as a shock.
Very much, very much.
Was this a county hospital?
Yes, the county hospital, uh-huh. So my dad, they didn't do his surgery then at that time because she had died. But, of course, we heard lots of stories, that people weren't treated very well, and they brought in doctors from San Francisco and here and there to practice, to learn.
Because it was a county hospital and then free mm-hmm. of charge.
Sure. Right. Of course, I don't know if it's true or not, but.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't very pleased with
No. And they said that when they gave her the gas, that her heart couldn't stand it, and she died, not from the surgery, but from the gas they used to be. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So then there was a period there that I didn't remember lots, and
because it's been very tough,
very.
Uh-huh. Did your father, you said he considered WPA a form of welfare. Did he consider this being in a county hospital?
Well, he never talked of that, but if you have no choice, I guess, you know, that was the only thing available. And if you don't have a doctor and you don't have money to pay a doctor, you know.
Then he probably did consider
it. Well, I would think he did, but, you know, so.
How about you or your nephews and nieces? Do you remember having any health problems? Or?
No. No, I don't remember. I don't remember any of us ever going to a doctor, so I'm sure we must not have had any health problems.
If you had needed, you would go to a doctor when you needed one then.
Oh, so sure.
As your parents
yeah.
did when they were very ill, then they sought out a doctor.
I had a valley fever a year or so after that. Of course, I didn't know it until 20 or 30 years later when I had a test for it, that I had it quite bad. But I mentioned, I says, well, I didn't go to the doctor. And of course, we didn't go to doctor for every cold you have at that time. It had to be really serious or you didn't go to a doctor. And she says, well, it was just as well because at that time they didn't even know how to treat it. So, but other than that, no.
You described how you worked in the field some on the grape ranch and then in the cannery.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, did very many of your classmates from high school also do this? Was this fairly common?
I don't believe so. I didn't see any of the classmates.
Would you tell your friends that you did this?
Oh, yes. That's the fact that a person works has never been anything to be ashamed of.
I've had some people who said they wouldn't tell their classmates because of the type of work it was in the fields or in a cannery.
No.
That didn't bother you?
Then. No. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember ever hearing anything about attempts to organize unions in the late 30s?
No.
How about strikes in this area?
Well, I heard that there had been strikes in Pixley and a couple of people were shot that were attempting to organize and the farmers resented it and didn't want it. But personally, you know, we never knew anything about it. Or I think that was probably earlier before we came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the 34s and 35s, perhaps.
I asked you just before we started about the Grapes of Wrath. Now, you had read the book or seen the movie?
I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you had any thoughts on that, whether it was a little bit exaggerated or...
Well, yes. Every Okie that saw it was very mad because it was, well, primarily to sell movies and they have to make a big thing of it. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't bad to not have jobs, but they made much more of it than anything I knew about or any people that I saw.
Mm-hmm. Were you terribly disturbed by it, or did it upset you at first?
Well, probably some, but I no doubt forgot it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-mm. Do you think that the movie and the book, The Grapes of Wrath, has had much to do with the Okie stereotype that we
Yes, I believe so. I believe so.
Perpetuated that,
mm-hmm.
made it even.
In fact, my mother-in-law never really understood what an Okie was, or that Oklahoma wasn't a foreign country. Well, she was Italian, you know, herself, and the only people that they had known were people that came to their house to work and. Some that did come, or perhaps, like you said, that drank some. And I think the earlier people that came were primarily the workers or field hands. And then later, the farmers themselves came, you know. So the first ones that came, maybe some of those were drifters and
perhaps
people that liked to drink.
Perhaps had a bad reputation
yes.
for the rest of the
Yes,
followers.
I believe so. So, and I know some had stayed in there, you know, a tent, I think, on their ranch and had worked for them, and she had a biased opinion.
Uh-huh.
You know, primarily from that experience and knowing them. And, mm-hmm.
And then when Steinbeck wrote the book, and the
yes.
movie was made, everyone across America
oh,
to
of
find
course.
Out what these Okies were all about.
True. But it personally, it never really bothered me that much because I always considered they were ignorant of the truth, and so you can't blame people, maybe, you know, for hearing something or seeing something. So, and I'm perhaps like a lot of people, I believe whatever I see or read.
Mm-hmm.
Think it must be true.
How about the word Okie at that time? What kind of connotation did that have?
Well, it was a very bad person. Ignorant, dirty, you know, so with no character. So it was, some people, you know, might, anyone from Oklahoma had to be an Okie. But then later, I think they tried to make a difference, but Okies were the ones that were dirty and so on, and the other ones were for people from Oklahoma, so, but it was bad, it was bad.
Mm-hmm. If someone had called you that seriously, then you would take offense to it?
I only knew one or two persons that ever did that, though,
uh-huh.
So.
How about now, the way people use the word?
It doesn't seem to have the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Oklahoma people, most of them can laugh, and laugh with you about it, and don't take offense. So, we kid all the time about Okies, you know, and I call myself that. I call myself an Okie.
And you graduated from high school in about, what, 1957?
Mm-hmm, right.
And what happened after that?
Well, I believe that's when my brother came from Oklahoma. He was a barber in Oklahoma. And he and my dad rented a ranch. Kind of ironically, it was one that we had lived in the milk house earlier in a tent.
Oh, uh-huh.
When we first came to work, couldn't find housing. And so then we farmed that year or so. I don't remember. My dad told me if I wanted to, then I could. He would send me to beauty college because I had some talent that way, but I didn't go on. As I said, after my mother died too, and I don't really remember a lot for
mm-hmm.
that first year. It was bad.
Yeah. And did they rent this farm?
Yes, uh-huh. They leased.
Did they do very well that first year?
I think fairly good, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then did you go and work?
No, I don't remember that year that I worked a lot. As I said, I had the valley fever that year.
Right.
And you don't work very much.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I slept most of that summer, which was a good thing, because that's basically about all you can do is lots of rest. So I was sick that summer. But then I met my husband, and so then the next year
that was
we
in the late 30s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you were married in what year?
In 39.
Uh-huh. And when World War II came, did that change things much for you? Was anyone in your family?
My husband had two brothers that went. And of course, we're talking about bias and whatnot. They were Italians, and they had a dairy. Two of their sons went, either enlisted or drafted, I don't know which. My husband was married. Of course, he wasn't eligible for the draft. And the sheriff's department came out and confiscated their radio and all their guns because they were Italian. And at one time we were... It's a little bit like the Japanese thing
uh-huh.
here, you know. So,
uh-huh. What year was that?
Oh, I don't remember.
But
I guess 1941, or whenever we went to the war. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And they actually came out and
that's true.
And did that.
Uh-huh. There's several Italian families in that area down down east of Pixley. So
that experience they similar to this because of the
war. They thought that radios had wireless, or they couldn't, I don't know, hear or talk. I don't know what the purpose was. And there I had two sons off fighting. But no, we had children. I had two children, I guess, and then we started farming.
Your husband did.
Yes, and prices were very good, so we did very good that way.
Mm-hmm. How long did you farm then?
Till 50, the year Eisenhower was elected, whatever year that was. Maybe 52 or something like that.
That was 52.
Mm-hmm. And the farmers in this area, there was prices had dropped considerably, so lots of farmers went under. We were one.
Did you move here into Tipton then?
Well, in this area. We didn't move into town here until 67 at this place here, but we lived in the general area.
So. When you did get married and you went into farming and you did fairly well, mm-hmm. then your standard of living must have changed quite a bit from the way it was when you first came out here.
Yes, I would say, yes. We could buy a new car. Yes, it was. And everybody wants something better for their children. And in this particular instance, we joined the PTA here, and two of my friends who were from Oklahoma also, one of them a very successful farmer. And so we joined the PTA, and we found out they didn't have one, and so we helped reorganize, and we were quite active. And that class of children that we started, when my older son started here in Tipton, when they got to high school, they didn't know that people from the sticks didn't run for offices and didn't participate because people that have told me, you know, were born and lived here, they were country, you know, and up to Larry, that was city, and they were discriminated against to that extent, and they were called from the boonies and, oh, you're from the sticks and all, and they'd never had nerve enough to really get in, and our children went on and held offices, and I think someone from Tipton was president of the senior class, well, all through high school, and one turned out to be a doctor, one is the principal up in the mountains up here, and a very successful class, and I think, you know, these three Okies that helped to organize and, you know, get for our children.
Mm-hmm. How many children do you have?
I have four.
Could you tell me what they do now?
Well, my son, Bobby, he had a service station here in Tipton, and but now he has his own haying equipment. You know, he cuts and bales and custom harvesting equipment. My older daughter lives in Corcoran, and her husband is an executive with Boswell Company. He's, well, he, up till, I guess, his last promotion, he was manager of their big hog operation out there. Mm-hmm. He drew it up and everything. He drew the plans and everything for 3,000 sows. So there's lots of little pigs, but now he's gone on up, so he's doing very well. And then my youngest son lives in Tehachapi. He works for a telephone company. He's in management. And then my youngest daughter lives in Visalia. And her husband is does lawns. I forget what you call them. Has a very good job. So they've all done quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes,
uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you're pleased with your children?
Oh, yes. Very, very nice. Very nice. Done very well.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we've had our share of divorces, like all families these days. It's not unique anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
And when did you start working for the post office here?
I think it was in 67. I had...
Had you worked before that?
No. No. The rural carrier asked me if I'd like to be her substitute, which would just be working now and then and a couple of weeks in the summer, and I said, yeah. My kids were all practically through school, you know. My daddy lived with me, but he was here in town where he lived till he was 93.
Mm.
So anyway, I went to work, and then I started work as a clerk at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And now what you would call the postmaster, the postmistress?
No, postmaster. Postmistress is something else.
of the Tipton Post Office.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's not probably a great honor in some larger town to be considered. But, well, it is. And I said, well, I'd rather be a big fish in a little pond than a little fish in a big pond.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very gratifying, and I like my job, and I like the people here.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, are you glad that you came to California?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I never regretted coming. No.
Did you ever want to go back to Oklahoma at any point?
I probably did the first two or three years. It's sometimes. But I always made friends easily, and I kept in contact with my friends for, you know, a couple of years, but we all grow.
Do you think you've had a better life here and perhaps had more opportunities for your children than you might have had in Oklahoma?
Well, perhaps, you know, at that time. Of course, now Oklahoma is not... It's not an agricultural state as it was at that time. There's very few gins. There's very few cotton. People don't raise cotton. We went back a couple of times, and I was amazed to see that most of them have ponds and raise cattle and are doing very well,
mm-hmm.
doing very well.
Do you still have relatives there?
I have a sister-in-law and her daughter. I doubt if I'll ever go back again, but it was interesting to go back and go to my old school.